Good morning to one and all. Thank you for joining us, whether you're here online or here in person for our Thanksgiving service. We're so thankful for the living God who dwells among us and invites us to recognize who he is and who we are in him through Jesus, our Lord and Savior. It's going to be a little bit different service for us today, as we've got some great testimonies, and the service is structured to give the message of Thanksgiving. So we're looking forward to having you join us in that. Why don't we pray, and then the team will lead us in praise. Almighty God, we're so very thankful that you invite us into your presence by your grace and by your mercy, and that you delight in your children. There is so much for which we can be thankful and need to be thankful, to recognize that you are the author of all that is good. And so we want to praise you this morning in song, in heart, in mind, in body. So Holy Spirit, just come and fill up our lives and fill up this place and fill up the homes that are watching online, because we want to worship in spirit and in truth through Jesus, our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for your presence and thank you for tuning in. We're going to give God some glory today. We're going to begin with a holy hit by Fanny Crosby. Does anybody know who Fanny Crosby even is? Oh, Dave Bertrand does. Irene Hamm does. Dave Dunker does. Let's stand up and I'll lead you in this song, okay? And let's sing out.
God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gates that all
okay, that was a good warm-up. Here we go. Verse 2.
Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood for every believer, the promise of God, the pilot's defender who truly believes that moment from Jesus apart. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus is seen. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
So come to the Father, to Jesus the Son.
All right, you may be seated for a moment.
Well, for Thanksgiving Sunday, first, I was thinking I would speak a little bit about Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, because there's a very familiar passage in there. It says, basically, I'm not saying this, writes Paul, because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. And I thought, man, what a great Thanksgiving verse for a time when stuff's kind of tough, hasn't it been, for the last year and a half, and to learn to be content. And so I was meditating on that and thinking about it, because it's so easy for me to kind of get negative. I was talking to some friends about that just last week, you know, to just sit in and to complain this and this and that. But then Scott, when we were talking about it, I think had a much better idea. He'd been doing a little bit of thinking about Thanksgiving and happened to come across, as he was in his research, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 4. Now, it's kind of a different passage. What was happening is that the ark, the very presence of God, was being brought by David and the crew into Jerusalem, and they're going to have the center of worship in the tabernacle, all of these good kind of things. And this is what it says. Listen to this. They brought the Ark of the Covenant of God, and they set it inside the tent, that's the tabernacle, that David had pitched for it. And they presented burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before God. And after David had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins to each Israelite man and woman. Quite a gift from the king there. Now it gets interesting. He appointed some of the Levites of the tribe who were the priests. He appointed some of the Levites to minister or to serve before the ark of the Lord, to extol, thank, and praise the Lord, the God of Israel. Asaph was chief, and next to him in the rank were Zechariah, then Jehaziel, Shemiramoth, Jehiel, Mattathiah, Eliab, Benaniah, Obed-Edom, and Jael. They were to play the lyres and harps, and Asaph was to sound the cymbals. And Benaiah and Jehaziel, the priests, were to blow the trumpets regularly before the ark and the covenant of God. You know, when Scott pointed this out to me, I thought, how much better to sort of take an active approach to Thanksgiving. To learn to be contentment for me was a bit passive, you know. We kind of learn to put up with this and go through it. But this passage in Chronicles talks about us being very, very proactive to extol, to thank, and to praise the Lord. It's actually quite a good job description for our life, isn't it? To recognize that we are put on earth to extol Hallelujah. The Lord, to thank the Lord for his goodness, and to praise the Lord. So our service, we're going to go into three sort of chunks: extol, thanks, and praise. We'll have some testimonies and some songs that go along with it. So this first chunk is to extol the Lord. It's kind of a fancy word, and we had a bit of a sense about it, but really, you know, this word is, it's sort of like a two-edged coin, okay, a two-sided coin. The first little bit about extolling just basically means to commemorate or to remind ourselves or to record the good and great things that God has done. You know, after they've given this instruction about how to praise God, then if you read along in the chapter, you'll see that they come then to a psalm. And the psalm begins this way. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of his wonderful acts. In other words, it's to extol the Lord, is to say, think about who God is and everything that he has done all throughout history and even in our life this past year, this past month, this past week, maybe even this morning. What a great source of thanksgiving is to just stop and to reflect for a moment. This is all that God has done this year. These are all the circumstances that God has brought us through. These are the blessings that the Lord has heaped upon me. And then on the other side of the coin is not only to just sort of commemorate what God has done, but then to launch off that commemoration, off that remembering, into a time of praise and proclamation that's done in the way of invoking or petitioning. You see, what this word extol means is to remember who God is, remember everything that he's done, and as you celebrate what he's done, bring the circumstances of your present life into that recognition of who God is and say, and now, Lord, because you are great, because you are merciful, because you are kind, because your arm is not short, because you can do miracles, then we bring before you this circumstance and ask you to bring your power to these things. And so now we're going to sing a couple of songs which extol the Lord, which proclaim all that he is and all that he's done.
Well, we can't do it sitting down. Come on. Remember the double clap song? Okay, this is it. And if you don't get it and you try it, don't worry about it. No one's looking at you and laughing. Except me.
My testimony?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
here we go.
It's a song. This is my testimony.
I need a key.
And then you're at the end of it.
I didn't want to get up.
All right.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Okay.
All my life, all I know, God's been good, good to my soul. Mountain high, valley low, I'm gonna sing wherever I go. All my life, all I know. And I saw Satan fall like lightning. And I saw darkness run for cover. But the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. I believe in signs and wonders. And I have resurrection power. Still the miracle that I just can't get over, my name registered in heaven, so it's yours. My praise belongs to you forever. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story, I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Come together, sons and daughters, bought with blood and washed in water. Sing the praises of the Spirit, Son and Father. Our God will finish what He started. Yes, He will. Our God will finish what He started. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story, I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony, this is my testimony. If I'm not dead, then you're not done. Greater things are still to come. I believe. If I'm not dead, then you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, then you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Oh, greater things are still to come. I believe. Oh, I believe. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. Oh, I'm alive. This is my testimony. I'm justified. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony.
Good morning. My name is Irene Hamm, and I was asked to speak my testimony of a stolen God. You know, it's easy to praise God and to be happy and delighted when things are going right. But what happens when we have big challenges and struggles? A stolen God is declaring who He is. It doesn't depend on circumstances. God never changes. His character is always stable. Our circumstances changes, but His character doesn't. When I was asked to speak about a stilling, immediately this memory came into my mind. And it was when my daughter, Sherry, was in the hospital. She was in the hospital for 26 days before she died. She died from massive blood clots in her arteries and her lungs. And that was in 2017. That was before COVID. But I remember on day 24, I was again journaling because that's how I processed my emotions, my struggles. And I journaled towards God. And I just was praising God because He is trustworthy. He has a plan. I don't know what it is, and I don't know if my daughter's going to die or live, but I know He has a plan. I know He's trustworthy. I know I can trust Him because He never changes. He is the Almighty I Am. And I remember I was praising Him for that, and all of a sudden, the power of God came upon me. I can't explain it. It's just this mightiness that welled up within me, and it's like, God, You are who You say You are. And I choose to trust You. You are my refuge. You are my strength. And so 2 days later, Sherry did die. But God hasn't changed. He doesn't change. And that is how we can extol Him. We can declare who He is. And extolling Him is a choice. It's a choice to believe His words. His words are truth. But they can just remain as words unless we bring them into our heart. And then the Holy Spirit can do amazing things within us. We fly above the circumstances, and He gives us peace amidst the tears. So I want to just finish off with two verses from Psalms 18. It says, I love You, Lord. You are my strength. The Lord is my fortress, my rock, and my Savior. My God is my rock, in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. So I just want to do a short prayer here. So dear Lord, I pray that You would fill us with courage to trust You and to declare that no matter what's going on in life, You are trustworthy, that You have good plans for us, even though they're really hard. They're good plans because You love us deeply. You gave Your life for us. You forgive us. We can enter into Your presence. Lord, You are with us. And so, Lord, give us courage to choose to trust You, to choose to believe those words that You declare about Yourself, and that Your Spirit will well up within us and give us this amazing sense that You have good things for us, Lord, that You are with us no matter what happens in life, and that You never change. And so thank You, God, for Your word of truth, that You are the great, almighty I Am. In the name of Jesus, amen.
So we thank God and extol Him and proclaim how great God He is in all circumstances. And then the scriptures tell us not only to extol the Lord, but to thank the Lord, to acknowledge that all good things come from God. You know, the word that's used for thank here is kind of an interesting word. It literally means to cast down or to throw down. And so the idea is, to be so overwhelmed sort of with the goodness of God and the good things of God that we just sort of cast ourselves down at His feet in thanksgiving. You can imagine sort of a movie, you know, somebody rescues your child out of a raging torrent and river or something, and you just sort of run up and cast down and grab the person around the legs and just, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And that's sort of the sense of to give thanks to God, to be so overwhelmed with His presence, with His goodness, with His constancy, that we just throw ourselves before Him in praise and thanksgiving. And this is how the psalm kind of ends here. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His love endures forever. Cry out, save us, God our Savior. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to Your holy name and glory in Your praise. Let's thank the Lord.
Displayed for all to see. You are light, You are light when the darkness closes in. You are hope, you have hope. You have covered all my sin. You are peace when my fear is crippling. You are true, even in my wandering. You are joy, you're the reason that I sing. You are life, in you death has lost its sting. I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world, forever reign. You are more.
stars.
They went.
The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon him. One final breath he gave, as heaven looked away, the Son of God was laid in darkness. The battle in the grave, the war on death was waged, the power of hell forever broken.
Listen.
The ground began to shake, the stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever he is glorified.
Morning. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Jesus and the disciples stopped by the house of Mary and Martha in Bethany, which is about 3 kilometers from Jerusalem. Martha then busies herself with the task of serving their guests. We are not told what these tasks are exactly, but it's safe to assume she began preparing a meal. Meanwhile, her sister Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, listening to his words. Rather than doing the role expected of women in that culture, which would be serving, Mary takes the position of a student learning at the feet of a rabbi, a role traditionally reserved for men. Many of us in our modern world would applaud Mary for challenging the gender norms of the day. But this pleasant story takes a sharp turn when Martha comes to Jesus and asks, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." Many can relate to Martha's resentment for her sister for leaving her to do all the work. Martha breaks all the rules of hospitality by trying to embarrass her sister in front of her guests and asking her guests to intervene in a family dispute. She even goes to as far as to accuse Jesus of not caring about her. Jesus' reply, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen a better part, which will not be taken away from her." Jesus' words to Martha seem more of an invitation rather than a rebuke. Where would this church be without the Marthas? Those faithful people who serve to make this church function. Many of us are not aware of how many people it takes and the different roles it takes to make this service happen each week. And I am thankful for each one of you. I mean, as a side note, I am thankful for a pastor who lives out what he preaches. But in a culture of fast-paced schedules and endless pursuit of productivity, we are tempted to measure our worth by how much we accomplish. If all our activities leave us with no time to be still in the Lord's presence and hear God's word, we are likely to end up not serving out of love and resentful out of others. But this story leaves us suspended. We don't know what happened next. Did Martha relax and listen to Jesus? Or did Mary finally get up and help? I believe Luke does this purposely so that we don't lose the point of the story, which is Christian service should never replace a relationship with Jesus. John 11, verse 5 is a great comfort to many of the Marthas in this world. It says Jesus loved Martha and her sister. As we come to the table, we have a chance to put aside all the distraction around us and focus on the love Jesus had for us. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, taking the cup, he said, "This is a new covenant in my blood. Do this off your drink." Jesus loved Martha and her sister. And Jesus loves us. The ultimate reason for thankfulness. Jesus loves me. This I know.
Jesus, we thank you today. We give you thanks today. We open our mouths and we say it. We verbalize it. Who else is worthy? Who else is as worthy? I'm going to invite you to go to the table in a minute. I would like you to join with me as we sing, as we praise. I'm going to sing the songs that just come into my head. As you guys are going to the table and getting your elements, I would like you to join me. Pray as you go. Thank God as you go. Verbalize your feelings inside. Say thank you to Jesus. You may go ahead.
Oh, God is good. Oh, He is good. We give thanks to You, Lord. We give thanks to You, for You are good. You are good. You are good. Oh, Lord, You are good. You are good. You are good. And Your mercy goes on. Your mercy goes on and on and on and on forevermore. We give thanks to You, O God. We give thanks to You, O God, for You are good. Oh, yes, You are good. And Your love goes on and on. And Your love goes on and on. Forevermore, forevermore. Oh, yeah. Lord, we thank You for Your body. Oh, broken for us. And we thank You for Your blood spilled out for us, and we are forgiven. We are washed of our sin. Yeah, it is gone, it is gone, and we are clean. Oh, we give thanks to You. We give thanks to You, our Jesus. We give thanks to You. For You are good. For You are good, and Your love goes on. Your mercy goes on and on. Your mercy goes on and on. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for You. The name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for You. Oh, Jesus, we live for You. Oh, I build my life. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Oh,
extol, thank, and then we come to this last one, which is my favorite, and that is to praise. Because this word means to shout out, to scream out, to make a great noise of thanksgiving. This is the part where the clash of the cymbals and the blowing of the trumpet and all of those things come into play. Praise is to shout, to make a noise, to cry out. I like this part because for people like me that can't carry a tune in a bucket, it makes me feel like I can participate. And then it's the job of those of you that can carry a tune to out-sing my shout. And so that's kind of the job. But the amazing thing is that in the midst of this great big crescendo of noise, of shouting and hopefully singing and cymbals and trumpets and all those things, into that celebration of the goodness of God, all of creation joins.
Hallelujah.
Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among the people. For great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are his dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of the nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in his splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. So let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns.
The Lord
let
reigns.
The sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let the trees of the forest sing. Let them sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Let all of creation praise the Lord.
Okay, let's stand to our feet because we've got some instructions. And we can't be doing this sitting down. Okay, here's what we're gonna do. I did not plan this. I'm gonna say the Lord reigns, and you're gonna say it back to me.
The Lord reigns!
The Lord reigns!
That was good.
The Lord reigns!
The Lord reigns!
Oh.
conquers. Our blood is one. Children of generations, of every nation, of kingdom come. So don't let your heart be troubled. Hold your head up high. Don't fear no evil. Fix your eyes on this one truth. God is madly in love with you. Take courage, hold on, be strong. Remember where your help comes from. Go up as the walls come down. All creation, everything with breath, repeat the sound. All his children, clean hands, pure hearts, good grace, good God. His name is Jesus. Swing wide, all you have.
Let the praise go.
gonna let you sit down, but not for long.
The book of Numbers is reflective of our own day and age, a challenge to authority, plague, pestilence, etc. And at times, God was ready to wipe his people off the face of the earth, but through Moses' intercession, they were spared. Sometimes I wonder why, whether it was Moses' intercession for the people or God's challenging of Moses to still believe in his people when their faithfulness was really in question. So it's reflective of our own age. We think particularly of COVID, which they also had a plague at that time, killed a number of people. And yet there's one story there that is a bright spot, and that is the story of the talking donkey. And you'll remember that King Balak of the Amalekites invited Balaam to come and curse Israel. And you'll remember that no matter how he tried to, God would never give him the right to curse Israel. Israel was blessed. And it reminds us of another verse in Jeremiah 29 where God has plans for his people. Even though they disappoint him, even though we disappoint him time after time. Now, I've been fortunate to be blessed with a lot of good examples and a lot of positive feedback from a lot of people and God's intervention. And I just want to relate the story of my move into an apartment from my home. I had contemplated it for a long time, but it was a hard decision to make to move out of that trailer where Helen and I had spent her final years. I had quite an attachment for it, but there comes a time when you are there and nobody else is. And there are certain things that need to be done, but you're not sure that it's worth the price to put into it. Because at the same time, you are deteriorating somewhat, failing eyesight, heart problems, that type of thing. And I was encouraged by the testimony given by the son of a father who had died, and he described his dad as being ahead of the curve. And I thought, well, I don't want to stay here until they have to drag me out. And so, in the fall of 2020, I should say, I contacted a real estate agent. She said, well, let's not put it on the market until early in January. And it went on the market January the 6th, and by the 26th, it was sold. But the stipulation was I had to be out by February 26th, which really put the rush on me. So I was blessed with a good real estate agent. So I planned the move. Well, actually, I was going to get a mover to move out all the heavy stuff and I could take care of the light stuff. But then this guy by the name of Rick Bruno, he says, oh no, we can do that. And all I wanted was all the heavy stuff moved out so that people who had volunteered, well, like Tina, to pack up my kitchen and my daughters to help clean up and all that stuff, we'd be able to take care of it. So the day of the move comes, and it just happened to be the coldest day in February. And then I went to get the U-Haul rental, and they didn't know what I was talking about. I had made arrangements. The guy said, you'd be down here at 8:30 in the morning, and this truck will be ready for you. Well, nobody knew what he was talking about, and they didn't even know who had said those words. So fortunately, I phoned up my my friend there, Jared Cadieux, and I said, we need to postpone this move. And he said, look, you know, I plugged my truck in last night. It's got high walls on it. I can load a pile of furniture in that. And I think we should go ahead with the move. Now, you have to remember that this move was at the beginning of COVID. So none of us were vaccinated. You don't ask guys who are helping you lift furniture to wear masks. And so, okay, that's fine. And then I get a call from Rick Bruno, who has slipped on ice and broken his right wrist. He's the organizer. Well, we still went ahead with it, and I thought, well, I wonder if this old beater of a van that I haven't started for 3 months will start. And I went out and gave it a flick of the bick, and it fired up. Now, I'm sure my carbon footprint was pretty heavy at that time because I had to hold the throttle down to get it to clear. So we were able, with that geriatric crew of mine, because the youngest guy that was part of that move was over 50. So my geriatric crew got busy. We loaded up the trucks, and we got over to the apartment, got it all unloaded, and they were able to go home by early afternoon. And I just think that is a blessing. God knew what I needed, and God provided a way. And that's the way it is with God. It's not that there won't be challenges, but one by one, they're overcome. And that is my testimony of God's blessing on me today. Thank you.
Amen. One more. Can you do one more? I don't know if I can do one more, but let's see if you can. Please stand up. Don't you love kids? Oh, man. What would we do without them? All right, one more chance to let it rip, and then we'll send you home.
This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you.
We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. For fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. With all creation cry.
Listen, you have a great Thanksgiving weekend. Keep looking up, eh? All right, you can go.
This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you.